Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back into the 6 o'clock hour here at Straight Up with Sturge. I am Josh Phillips, along with Diesel over there. Now, are you doing the planet tonight? You do it every night, right?
Every night, six nights a week.
Six nights a week.
Busy fella.
Always Monday here. Through Saturday?
Monday through Saturday, six nights a week.
Wow.
Matter of fact, tomorrow I'm on for 7 hours instead of five.
What?
Yeah, vacation. Somebody else on vacation. We got to fill in.
Let me guess, Stone Man?
Every day is a mental vacation for Stone Man.
I know it, right?
He's just floating around out here, man.
You got to love Stone Man. I mean,
have you seen photos of him back in the day when he had his big hair?
No.
Did you ever see Howard Stern's Private Parts? Remember when he used to have that long hair that came down about the middle of his back? That was Stone Man.
Well, I didn't
in the
know,
80s.
I didn't know he's British.
Yeah, you wouldn't know until he goes to England and then comes right back. And you have to talk to him in the first 36 hours that he comes back to even hear a hint of it. Because when he does his British accent, I always think he's messing with me.
Yeah, I had him do it one day.
It seems a little over the top and fake, but if that's really his accent.
You know, he told me, he goes, you know, I was born in London. He goes, I'm British. And he sounds American.
Yeah, because he lived in Iowa where they have no accents.
None.
For 20 years. So he lost it.
And then he goes, I can switch back and forth. He goes, when I go over there to visit family, he said the same thing you did. When I go over to visit family, it comes back.
Yeah.
He goes, and then I'll come back to the United States, and it'll last for about a week. And then, you know, I would love to go to London with Stone Man.
Wow. You'd be like Al Bundy going to London.
Why is that? I don't know Al Bundy.
Al Bundy, Married with Children.
Yeah, I know. But
yeah, there's an episode. There's an episode where they went to England, and I think they went to go visit their, like, 20 generations ago family, you know, hometown. And it's dark 24 hours a day there because of a curse that the Bundy curse of this hometown.
Speaking of Al Bundy, his co-host in there, Katie Sagal, she was such a fox.
Smoke show.
I mean, she was such a fox.
But easily one of the most annoyingly lazy human beings ever.
Of all time. And that show made Christina Applegate.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody thought it. I didn't think she was all that attractive.
Oh, get out of here.
I don't. To
get
this day,
out of here.
No,
no
way.
Get out of here. That was one of my original crushes.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Alyssa Milano, way better than Christina Applegate.
See, they say the shows that you enjoy as a kid are what sort of molds your sense of humor over the years. And I watched Married with Children and Beavis and Butthead and a lot of MTV type shows, Ren and Stimpy. I couldn't get down with, Who's the Boss? It was just lame. It was boring. Not funny. Again, Alyssa Milano, very attractive, but the show didn't stick with me.
So you were an MTV junkie growing up.
I needed that edgy comedy, yeah.
You know what I miss about MTV, and I'm getting ready to show my age.
Music?
Max Headroom. Headroom.
Yep.
And Yo MTV Raps.
Yeah.
With Ed Lover.
I miss the old Rock and Jock when it was fun. You remember the Rock and Jock basketball games? It would have this all-star celebrity athlete mix game. And I remember, I'm blanking on the guy's name who actually ran the thing. But I remember one year where they would have a light project down onto the floor. And if you shot it from this spot, it would be worth 20 points. But then it would move to somewhere else. So, you know, in the second quarter, first quarter, it may be right at the free throw line. Second quarter, it's from the corner. And then one year, they had it where they had three basketball goals stacked on top of each other, you know, with 25 feet in between the bottom and the top one. And if you made it in the top one and threw all three goals, it was worth like 100 points. It was fantastic.
Well, I'll say this, and you'll probably fall over laughing. I was such a fan of Yo MTV Raps that my grandmother, for Christmas one year, bought me a Run DMC sweatshirt.
Please tell me you still have this.
It's somewhere.
You have to find this.
Okay. My grandmother,
that is your goal.
My grandmother bought me a sweatshirt. I'll never forget it. It was a white sweatshirt that was a Run DMC sweatshirt that said Kings from Queens. I have never forgotten that.
Oh, my God. I got to see if I can find this.
You probably won't. But every day when I would come home from school, she would be watching Donahue or something like that. And then I would turn on the television set. My grandfather hasn't come home yet. And then I would go in my room and I would turn on Yo MTV Raps. And she would come in there.
Is that it?
That's it. That's it.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, Kings from Queens.
I love it.
That's it right there.
Oh, my God. That's probably worth some money at this point.
You know, and I have looked all over the place because Ed Lover was the funniest dude. I thought he was Steve Harvey before Steve Harvey. And I thought he was the coolest dude in the music videos at the time, you know, it's when Ice-T started coming along. It was when the ices came out of refrigeration. You had Ice-T, you had Ice Cube, you had LL Cool J.
Vanilla Ice.
You had Vanilla Ice. I mean, you had all of those guys coming out. Run DMC.
Yeah. See, I was a big fan of the rock and metal side of Matt Penfield, big bald guy. He was always so angry. I loved him. And then Ricky Rackman. See, I've never nerded out backstage at a show or fanboyed out, except for the time that I saw Ricky Rackman backstage. He was the original host of MTV's Headbangers Ball. This guy used to go out and party with the bands. I remember watching him like poolside with Motley Crue and just girls everywhere. It was awesome. And now he's living in Charlotte. You know, he's a big time NASCAR guy. So he's living in Charlotte. He was doing some radio show called Racing Rocks. I think it was on Classic Rock 101.1 for the longest time. I don't know if it still is or not, but I geeked out over Ricky Rackman.
Yeah, I mean, that whole generation, you know, of course, the Beastie Boys, they had come out, Tupac, all of those guys, Public Enemy. I mean, all of those guys had come out at that time, and that's what was cool. And then it was really cool because about that time is when the Fab Five started to come out.
I just found one of these Kings of Queens sweatshirts on eBay for $250.
Oh, my gosh. I think she paid $5 for it.
And it's a size extra large.
Yeah, see, I think I was a 2X then. I think that's...
Another one here, $450. Dude, this thing's worth some cash. You got to find this thing.
It's somewhere in a box. I've still got it.
You
got to
find it. That is your mission.
And I had the high-top K-Swisses.
Nice.
Okay. I mean, that whole part as a young man, and kids, they don't have a clue nowadays about that stuff. You know, because I just couldn't get into the big hair bands. Although there were some songs that I really liked. You know, Queen was really big during then. Twisted Sister was really big during then. Some people forgot even who the heck Twisted Sister was at the time.
Not me.
You want to join the conversation?
Huh? Dee Snider is a legend.
Oh,
when
absolutely.
Dee Snider went up, when Dee Snider went to Congress and told Tipper Gore that she had a dirty mind and Al Gore almost jumped over the table after him, that was incredible. Because if you were looking for dirty references, you're going to find it. Maybe you got a dirty mind, Tipper Gore.
There was always a
PMRC.
Debate. There was always a debate between him, Alice Cooper, and Ozzy as to who had the best makeup game. Because those three wore eyeshadow, lipstick. I mean, nothing was off limits.
Well, in the 80s, Ozzy was he was a walking glamour shot.
You know, I'll never forget. It was so controversial at the time that Ozzy bit the head off of a bird.
A bat.
It was a bat. It was a bat. That's right. In one of his concerts. And I can remember the outrage that came out about, at the time, the music that was involved that me and you were talking about. It was devil music. Mm-hmm. It was the bane of the country. It was going to destroy
America. They called it the Satanic Panic.
All of that stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, see, what it stemmed from is Ozzy and Sharon were in a meeting with record execs, and they had a dove in Ozzy's pocket. He was supposed to pull the dove out, and I don't know what the point was. And then he bit the head off of it in the meeting. And then once fans started getting wind of this, somebody threw an unconscious bat up onto the stage. I don't know. It flew down into the crowd. Somebody whacked it with their hand or something, knocked it out. I don't know. Somebody picked it up, threw it onto the stage, and Ozzy, assuming that it was a prop, just picked it up, bit the head off of it.
You know, I'm having a text because people are blowing up my phone. I hate these iPhone 7 keyboards. I mean, look at that hand. And me trying to...
Yeah, you got big hands. I got little hands.
And trying to navigate...
I got iPhone hands.
I mean, look at those keys. And I'm trying to navigate with these mitts.
With those Jimmy Dean sausages you got over there.
Hold on now. You ain't got to get personal.
I'm telling you, man. You got to track down that Run DMC sweatshirt and wear it to the studio.
It's somewhere packed away. I've still got it somewhere.
Yeah. That's your summer mission.
I mean, it's hid somewhere. And it was always funny because the girls at the time would wear the socks rolled down. Esprits were big. Guess jeans. My sister went bananas over Guess jeans. The stonewashed ones. Now, she was into all of the big hairband stuff.
Mm. What's funny is that's all coming back in style now.
Is that not crazy?
25 years, man.
That's the thing that just, you know, I wish somebody would bring back Hammer's pants. I called them the Aladdin pants. You know, they had those big wings.
Yeah, parachute pants.
You just knew he was going to fly away.
Well, there was a concerted effort about 2 years ago. JNCO tried to make a big-time comeback. I don't know if you recall JNCO jeans. You would have been a little bit too old for JNCO jeans, but I was there. These things were massive. Each pant leg was basically enough material to make a pair of pants. So you essentially had enough material to make four pairs of pants out of a pair of JNCOs. The problem was the back pockets were so deep, the bottom of the pocket was at the crease of the back of your knee. So if you needed to reach into your pocket and grab your wallet, You look like you had freaking scoliosis bending down there to get it. So that's when chain wallets really came around.
Oh, back in the glory days. I can still remember when EPMD came out with You Gots to Chill. This is Straight Up with Sturge. Welcome back into this Thursday edition of Straight Up with Sturge. I am Josh Phillips. Diesel is still in shock over my sweatshirt from my impressionable age back in the day. I did see that there's one selling on eBay for $900. Wow. Yeah, I need to dig that stuff out. I won't. It was a great time to grow up. I will say that. It was a fun. It was a great time. The music was crazy. Bill Clinton was out of control. It was just a great time to grow up. Other news from around the sports world as we talk. Kyler Murray, the quarterback from Oklahoma, will be attending the NFL Combine. In March, and he will perform. Now, the over-under on him beating the record for a quarterback in the 40 is, I believe, a 4.53. I'm going to give the over-under that he breaks that relatively easy. I think he's probably going to pop about a 4.48 is what I'm going to – I'm going to go ahead and just put that out there. Just – and now, this is just me watching him on television. So I'm going to be fascinated to see what he pops. But I'm going to say Kyler Murray is going to run a 4.48. We'll see or not. But he is going to be at the combine. Daniel Jones, quarterback from Duke that we've talked about on the show, is flying up NFL draft boards. He's probably not going to get picked in the first round, but he would be an intriguing pick for the New England Patriots at number 32.
What's the most useless measurable exercise that they do in the NFL combine? Would you say the 40 is useless? Because I would say unless you're a running back or a wide receiver or a mobile quarterback, your 40 time means nothing.
No, I mean, it gives you an idea because they've got to get down in a sprinter stance. You get a chance to see how they move. You get a chance to see their explosiveness on their first step. I would have to say the most useless, is that what you're saying? The most useless event at the combine? I would have to say the vertical. And the reason I would say the vertical is they're already doing a 40. They're already doing a broad jump. Why do you need to see how high they're going to jump? I mean, you know by then whether they're an explosive athlete or not. I mean, you can turn on the tape. You can do the L drill, the three-cone drill, the 40, and the broad jump. You can do those four things with a football player and decide if he's explosive, fast, and can move horizontally and vertically. I mean, you just can. The New England Patriots put a premium on the L drill and the three-cone drill. Those two drills, the Patriots don't give a hoot and a holler about any of those other drills. I mean, they'll watch them. They'll take notes. But New England puts a lot of precedent into the L drill and the three-cone drill because it shows short area quickness and maneuverability in closed quarters. What did we just see in the Super Bowl with Julian Edelman in the slot running those whip routes, pushing to the inside on those linebackers, and then exploding out? That's the three-cone drill. Him weaving through the linebackers on the second level, working his way up to the third level to this opposite safety, that's the L drill. See, those are functional drills that transition to the field. Now, the vertical can transition to the field for a wide receiver going up in one hand and a ball. No question about that. But you can determine that on a broad jump. I mean, if a guy goes out there and he broad jumps 10 feet or better, or 9.5 or better, then pretty much he's going to vertical 35 to 40-something inches. So it's kind of a redundant exercise. You want to join the discussion, 844-477-3776, or hit us up on the Health Dare text line. If you want to talk about any of the things that we've discussed on the show, which we've discussed everything from late 80s and 90s rap groups to the NFL draft prospects to the Southeastern Conference being the all softness league. I mean, we've discussed a lot of topics today. We've only got, another two segments?
Even Ozzy Osbourne's culinary habits.
We've talked about Ozzy Osbourne eating a bat. Man, I tell you what, that guy now is kind of sad.
He's actually in the hospital at the moment.
Is he really? How old is Ozzy now? He's got to be almost 80.
Late 60s, I think.
Late 60s?
Late 60s.
You know the guy that has really done well with himself is Gene Simmons. I love that show with him and Shannon Tweed and their kids called Family Jewels. That was hysterical.
Ozzy is 70, by the way.
I was going to say, he's got to be in his 70s.
Yeah, he's having complications with the flu. As a matter of fact, he's on tour. Well, he's about to go on tour. He had to cancel the first couple of dates on his upcoming tour.
He's still performing.
Yeah. And he's playing in Charlotte in May.
I mean, I shouldn't be shocked. Paul McCartney's coming to the Bon Secours Wellness Arena next month.
You know, some people, they get bored when they retire.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do with all that money? I mean, what would you do with a rock star's royalties? I think Gene Simmons is worth like $800 million. He did so well from a business acumen standpoint, it's unbelievable.
Gene Simmons, did you know that he actually has had a business policy of going out and trademarking random things?
Exactly.
Because it's things that no one else had ever thought to trademark. He trademarked the smiley face because no one had ever done it before. He tried to trademark the I love you sign
the devil
language.
Signal. No, it's not I
no,
love
no, no,
you.
No, no, no. He tried
it's
to trademark.
The devil signal.
No, what? He tried to trademark his version of it, and people tried to say that Ronnie James Dio came out with it first, but he tried to trademark it.
I'm not surprised.
Didn't work, but he tried.
I'm not surprised.
I think there's something just insanely bland, like innocuous, that he's got. I think he has the trademark for the birthday song or something.
He probably does. He had me in hysterics.
And he makes money on it.
He had me in hysterics when during that show he came out in a rubber duck onesie. That it was his pajamas for a grown man. I almost fell out on the floor laughing so hard. Back to sports. The New England Patriots have hired Greg Schiano as their defensive coordinator. Yes, that Greg Schiano from the Ohio State. Yes, that Greg Schiano that was a head coach at Rutgers and then the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He is now the defensive coordinator replacing Brian Flores with the New England Patriot. Of course, Brian Flores has left to take the head coaching job of the Miami Dolphins. And I hope the Dolphins – I'm a pseudo-Dolphins fan now. I think Brian Flores started out at the very bottom, became a positional coach there. He is entrenched in what Belichick has done defensively with New England, and I hope Miami is patient and lets him do what they're supposed to do down there. Not so much good news for Antonio Brown. You know, Antonio Brown has got a massive problem. You know, he tried to hold the Pittsburgh Steelers hostage, and now all of a sudden he has been arrested, or this happened the other day actually, in a domestic violence dispute by pushing a woman onto the ground.
Ugh. Why am I not surprised?
Would somebody please explain to me, if you are a professional athlete, forget the fact you're a man, because there's some women I know that would whip some men's fannies, quite honestly. But why, if you are a professional athlete, and why is it that if you are a football player, you feel the need to put your hands onto a woman? And I don't know the ins and outs of this situation with Antonio Brown. And obviously Kareem Hunt is in exceptionally hot water. Now, I don't know if Kareem Hunt went to the extent that Ray Rice did by just knocking a woman out. But, I mean, you have every opportunity. You can outrun her, probably. You definitely are stronger. There are so many avenues that you could get away from the situation without putting yourself in this position. And when are these NFL guys going to wake up? I mean, is it a cultural thing that they're trying to prove their manhood? Is being in the NFL not self-esteem enough from an ego standpoint that you still have to prove you're a man by putting your hands on a woman? I mean, somebody needs to get not all of them, and unfortunately, it's the minority of the guys and the knuckleheads that decide to shove and punch and hit women than it is the majority. But when are these guys going to wake up? I mean, Zeke Elliott got himself in hot water.
I just want to know, what is the NFL doing about it at this point? Will the NFL fail again? Because every single time the NFL has had the opportunity to get this right, they have gotten it wrong.
Well, the thing is, I'm going to be fascinated to see what they do with Kareem Hunt. Because if they reinstate Kareem Hunt, Ray Rice needs to sue their pants off. I mean, that's just the truth. And if this comes out about Antonio Brown doing more than just shoving a woman on the ground, I mean, what are they going to do with him? I mean, Tom Brady got suspended for 4 games. The New England Patriots got docked I don't know how many draft picks and fined $1 million for the supposed manipulation of air in a football. Ray Rice is banned for life. What are they going to do with Kareem Hunt and Antonio Brown? I mean, that is a PR nightmare. And here's a little advice for you NFL boys. If you are with a woman that gets you to the point of you physically accosting her, I would say you probably don't need to be with her. If that's the type of relationship that you got, and it doesn't just go for the NFL. I mean, we saw that idiot coach for Ohio State and what he went through and what he drug Urban Meyer through, and Urban Meyer turned the other way, and that whole fiasco, which I believe what cost Urban Meyer and Ohio State being selected for the playoff. But if you're with a woman that drives you to that point, here's a novel idea. Break up and either be alone or go find somebody else. This is Straight Up with Sturge. You know, a lot of times the conversations off air can be as fascinating as the ones we have on air. You know,
Yeah, you should get an ointment for that.
You think so?
That thing we were talking about off the air. You can't give me an opening like that and expect me not to take it.
Yeah, I know.
Just rest it. Just rest it. Put that ointment on there 3 times a day like the doctor tells you. You'll be fine. Good to go in a week, my friend.
That's hysterical. You know, we were just, I guess it's a memory lane day, but, you know, I was watching Keith Olbermann between the breaks, and Diesel and I were discussing that, you know, and I always loved when Olbermann was on SportsCenter along with Dan Patrick and the late Tom Meese. You know, Tom, I believe, had cancer and ended up succumbing to it, but those guys in the early days of ESPN, I mean, people forget, you know, ESPN, I believe, started in the late 70s and really took off with Chris Berman, and whoever did the hiring in the early days of ESPN did an outstanding job, because the personalities that they had with Dan Patrick, Keith Olbermann, who's the guy that
– Chris Berman.
Chris Berman. I was getting ready to say Boomer.
Back.
You know, Joe Morgan doing Baseball Tonight, you know, and then they had the round
table. Stuart Scott.
You know, all of those – Scott Van Pelt, you mentioned. You know, John Saunders was just unbelievable. You know, and then they had Monday Night Football with Tommy and Boomer and Boomer Esiason and all of those guys. It was unbelievable. And now, you know, for the most part, those guys are still around, but they're getting at the end of their career. I watched.
What's interesting is so many of them left to go do other things.
Right.
And ESPN tried really hard to court the young audience with a younger generation of sportscasters with 30-minute programming. See, I miss the old days of them filming a one-hour SportsCenter and just looping it for like 6 hours. Now it's 24-hour coverage.
Yeah, they've got all these different
shows. Now it's too much analysis.
and not enough reporting. And I don't like that kind of analysis. It doesn't do anything for me.
That's where journalism and the media it's different. It's become more about the personalities behind the microphone than it has about the people that they're supposed to be there with. That's why Kevin Durant got so upset. And that's why a lot of these athletes respond the way they do, is they get a little gun-shy because they're right in what they're saying. The media will take something. They're not trying to get his thoughts on the game. They're trying to get a snippet of something that then they can create drama with. Instead of just saying, Kevin Durant said this at the press conference. Here's the clip. And let it stand on its own. No, it's, I asked three questions, and Kevin Durant answered one question, and I take this one snippet that sounds like he hates Steph Curry. And I'm going to post it all over social media, and then I'm going to write a big headline that says, Kevin Durant can't stand Steph Curry. Demands trade to the Knicks. And now all of a sudden there's this drama. You know, they did it literally with Nick Saban and Dennis Franchione. Alabama fans will probably remember that when they took something that Saban said out of context, and those guys were friends. It destroyed their relationship from a personal standpoint. And unfortunately, that's sad. But that's where we've gotten. This Nick Foles situation is just, you know, it's like Bill Bender said when he was on here. You want to join the discussion, 844-477-3776. Hit us up on the Health Dare text line, text ESPN to 71307. Is he thinks that the Philadelphia Eagles are kind of hamstrung with both of their quarterbacks. On one hand, they've got one that they believe has a lot of talent that they've invested money and time and development into, and that's Carson Wentz. And then you've got another one that has actually led you to a Super Bowl. See, I'm the type of coach that I don't want what could be. I want what is and what is performing. See, football is not a potential game. It is a performance game. You either get it done or you don't.
Well, the question becomes, how many years will the Eagles settle for a half a season out of Carson Wentz? I mean, they've settled for 2 years in a row, and I get it. He was a highly touted draft pick. You drafted high to get him. You felt good about him. He's got all the measurables, but he just can't stay healthy. You know, there are so many talented NFL guys who wash out because they just can't stay healthy, whether it's a recurring injury, their body just doesn't hold up in the right ways. It happens.
Yeah, and two, quarterbacks develop differently than other positions. And it appears that Nick Foles has developed later on in his career. And there's nothing wrong with that. I firmly believe that Dak Prescott is suffering because of Jason Garrett. I firmly believe that Dak Prescott could be a top quarterback in the NFL if he had a Sean Payton, if he had a Bill Walsh type, if he had a Bill Belichick type coach that actually knew how to develop him. And instead, he's got the Joker off Batman. And it's stunning his development. Because he sees flashes here or there that the guy can get it done. Let's go to the phone lines and bring in, is this Steve Sumner? Is this
the Steve Sumner?
The
Esquire.
Man, I tell you what, we are in the presence of royalty. Of Greenville.
No, oh my goodness.
Of Greenville royalty, goodness. And one Mr. Steve Sumner of the Sumner Law Firm. is on the show with us. How are we doing, my friend?
Hey, Josh, I'm doing great. I want to just shout out real quick to you and Diesel that y'all are doing a fantastic job. And I know I speak for a lot of people when I talk about how much I enjoy the show and just all the different range of topics that you guys cover. It is very entertaining, and your depth of knowledge is fantastic, going from Ozzy to Run DMC to Kyle Murray. You know,
we have dug through the depth today.
Man in the world, yeah.
Well, Steve, I don't. You can ask Diesel. I don't have any notes.
Hey, you don't need them. That's the sign of excellence. You don't need them, okay? But I did want to say this, and you're right most of the time, but I think Michael Vick dropped a whole lot faster 40 than a 4.53.
I agree.
I mean, I think Michael Vick was around 4.2, somewhere in that range, maybe 4.25. And I'm not saying that to be critical of what you said about Kyler Murray.
No, I got you. No, it's a great point.
I'm saying that he's not Michael Vick, and I hope he does great. I hope that he wins Super Bowls and makes lots of money. If he plays NFL, he's a fantastic athlete, and he is a wonderful, you know, obviously multi-sport star. But if Vick can't do it, Josh, I'm not sure it can be done.
Well, I looked up the stat, guys. Michael Vick ran his 40 at 4.33. And he was clocked as low as 4.25. So his pro day was 4.33, clocked as low as 4.25.
Yeah, I'd say he probably ran a 4.3 after two cases of beer at midnight, okay? And he had a cannon hanging off his shoulder.
Yes, he did.
Okay? I mean, he had a cannon. And I don't know. I hope that Kyler, if he chooses football, I hope he does well. But I don't know. I just don't like it, you know, in terms of that versus baseball. I know he doesn't have as much experience with baseball. That's been brought out, that he's got about 800 or 1,000 at-bats, fewer than most people at his spot. But I don't know, Josh, 5'10 in that league, I don't know. You know, I think there's a reason that most of them that are really good are 6'5", 6'6", or even bigger. So I'm going to let you guys talk about that a little bit, but the show is great. But, yeah, I can't think of a 5'10". Quarterback in the NFL. I'm sure there is one. You know, maybe Fran Tarkenton, a few people that have the success that the big guys have, and particularly now. You know. So anyway, thanks a lot. That's my comment. I'll let y'all run with it. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. Steve, you're always welcome on the show. Steve is from a law standpoint, Steve is second to none. And that's Steve Sumner. And from a man standpoint, he's 10 times that. You don't get any better from a law practice standpoint, and you don't get any better from a man and humanity standpoint than Steve Sumner. He's the best. This is Straight Up with Sturv. Welcome into the final segment of Straight Up with Sturge. I am Josh Phillips. Let's welcome in Connor. I know you dropped. Get back in with us. Before I get out of here at the top of the hour, 7 o'clock, let's bring in, is this Gamecock Billy or Billy from Taylor's? Welcome to the show,
that's
Billy.
Him, hey. How you doing, buddy? You doing all right?
I'm doing awesome, sir. How you doing?
I heard your friend just call in, the attorney, who I definitely respect. I tell you who Kyler Murray reminds me of, buddy, is Russell Wilson. He reminds me so much of Russell Wilson. And what Russell Wilson may be an inch taller, but I don't think it would be more than that. He's not 6 feet tall, and he's doing a pretty good job in Seattle. He's very accurate. He moves around in the pocket good. He's got a very good pocket presence. He's just a winner, and that's who Kyler Murray reminds me more of anybody.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. He's not quite as built. I think Russell Wilson may be a thicker guy, but no question their games are very comparable.
Yeah, and would you not say that Russell Wilson at this stage, coming into his first year, you know, being drafted, probably wasn't as thick then as he is now, because they're going to put some NFL weight on you when you get to the NFL workouts.
Good point, yep.
You know, yep. And they both played baseball. Remember that. They both were, and Russell Wilson was drafted also in baseball. So it's just a lot of comparisons. You know, I heard you talking about two quick things about Dallas. I heard you talking about first, Jason Garrett, and I'm lukewarm on Jason Garrett. I don't think he's terrible. I don't think he's great. I just think he's lukewarm, and I get your point about him. If you're going to be the coach of Dallas Cowboys, you should be in the upper echelon, or you shouldn't be coaching there. I agree with that. Well, I disagree with you. I'm not sure what we've got with Dak. I hope that I'm wrong. I swear to God I do, because if not, that means we're going to go through another 5 or 6 years of just being mediocre, and we're going to have to draft somebody else. But what kills me about him is he won't make a decision. He sits back there with no pocket presence and just continuously pats the ball, and that gets old after a while, and you can't blame that on coaching as far as you can in practices, yes. You've got to teach them, but at this stage, you are who you are. Have you ever seen somebody get better at this stage? Because I don't remember one.
Well, Billy, the reason I disagree with you, and I absolutely blame coaching on that, is because if he's back there patting the ball, that means he's confused and he doesn't know what he's reading from a defensive standpoint, and he's indecisive right. with the football. That tells me in the film room, he's not getting a lot of help from the headset.
Well, I would agree with that, but let me ask you this, because I've always maintained that if you can read a defense, you can read a defense, and if you can't, at the stage of the NFL level, it's hard. I've never seen anybody get exponentially better at being able to read a defense when they get to that level. Now, from high school to college, yes, that happens all the time, but at that stage, are you not already set with who you are? I mean, can you really increase your knowledge of being able to go through your progressions that much at that level? Because I just don't remember it, and I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate you, Josh.
Thank you, Billy. Thank you for the points. Very, very, very outstanding good points with that. And to answer your question, yes, you can, because the speed of the game picks up exponentially from college to the NFL. So the read that was open in college is not going to be open in the NFL. You know, and I go back to the quote that Peyton Manning gave as a rookie to Bruce Arians. When Bruce Arians, during Peyton Manning's rookie year, Bruce Arians was the quarterback coach and offensive coordinator, and Peyton, during one of their scrimmages, held onto the ball and got sacked. And when he came back there with Bruce Arians, Bruce Arians asked him, why didn't you let that ball loose? Why didn't you cut that ball loose? And he said, Coach, the window was too small. And he said, welcome to the NFL, rookie. That is a window in the NFL. And it was a wake-up call to Peyton Manning, who was arguably one of the greatest college quarterbacks of all time. But he struggled with, I think Peyton had 20-something interceptions his rookie year in the NFL. And he struggled with the adjustment, and he had Bruce Arians. Now, because of his work ethic and because of his development and because of his devotion to film study, he worked on his craft and he got exponentially better. Dak hasn't had a Bruce Arians. Dak has had Jason Garrett. Dak has had Scott Linehan. And Dak has had Derek Dooley. I mean, Derek Dooley's the only quarterback coach, offensive coordinator, that could screw up the kid at Missouri. I mean, that kid at Missouri set all kind of records last year, and his name's escaping me right now. But I love his projection to the NFL in the right circumstance.
You talking about Drew Lock?
Drew Lock, thank you. Drew Lock. I mean, that kid there is his upside. You know, most NFL GMs, they want a kid when they draft him to have a 18 to 25% developmental upgrade once they get to the NFL. That means that they feel like they can improve them another 20%. And I think Drew Lock could possibly be a 30% guy. See, that's what Tom Brady did. Tom Brady improved 30 to 35% from his time at Michigan to the time that he became the starter with the New England Patriots. Now, I'm not saying Drew Lock's going to become the next Tom Brady. But I am saying I think in the right situation, that kid could be a solid quarterback. And that Daniel Jones is a solid quarterback. And the guy that nobody's talking about is Tyree Jackson, the quarterback at Buffalo. I mean, that kid there, he's better than 25 starters in the NFL right now, and he's had no coaching. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely believe that coaching and the development of quarterbacks and any college quarterback coached by David Cutcliffe is going to have an advantage. That's why I love Daniel Jones out of Duke. Not only is he 6'5", 220 pounds, can make all the throws, but he's had the tutelage of David Cutcliffe his entire career. And I believe Cutcliffe has a pretty good track record of NFL quarterbacks in the NFL. This is Straight Up with Sturge.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.